this, God comes down and Job says, you know what, God? You can find this in Job chapter 38 through 41 if you want to go home and read it. Job says, God, what in the world's going on here? See, because Job's perspective, he did not see Satan go to God and ask for permission to do this, and God say, Satan, I have you on a rope, and you can only go so far. If Job had seen all that, Job would have been able to say, oh, I know this isn't going to get too bad because God has taken care of this. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand, God has Satan on a rope in your life too. Mm-hmm. You know, and whatever he is doing for your good. Yes. So anyway, back to Job. God finally says to him, Job, where were you when I flung the stars in place?
Yeah.
And not only did I put millions of stars in place, but I named every single one of them. Where were you when I did that, Job? Mm-hmm. And Job, when I told the ocean, you stop right here and go no further, where were you? Job, where were you when I created this world? You're questioning what I am doing in your life, or what I am allowing to happen in your life. You are questioning me who created you? Job, I created you. And you're going to question me? But I have to tell you, we all get like Job. Instead of saying, I don't know what God's doing, but he has got me in the palm of his hands, and I'm going to trust him completely. And if Satan is trying to get after me, he's not going to win because I have my shield of faith up, and my trust is in God and God alone, and he will never let me down. Yes. Instead, we start, oh, what's going to happen? Our disbelief sneaks in, and doubt sneaks in, and fear sneaks in, and all of a sudden, those fiery darts are landing. Right. Instead of our shield of faith blocking them, they're landing. Right. But God says very clearly in Isaiah, my ways are not your ways.
Amen.
My thoughts are not your thoughts. And what you think is something very, very horrible is actually going to catapult you into something very, very wonderful. I can look in this room, I see people now that could stand up and say, that is me. I can tell you, it is me. I've told this story many times, I'm going to say it again. Alan Angel was sitting on Dover School Board, Capital School Board. And by all rights, he should have been president of the school board, and he did not get president of the school board. And he came over and he said, I didn't get it. And I told him basically what I'm telling you. Alan, then it wasn't yours. God has something bigger. If God, number one, Bible says God's plans won't be thwarted. And if God says you are going to have something, no man can stop it. Amen. And if God says you're not, no man can make it happen.
Amen.
His plans are his plans. Well, you know what that did? Because he was not tied down with all the responsibility as president of the school board, he was able to run for levy court and win. God had something way bigger for Alan than Alan even realized. Right. Yes, many of you know, I was fired. And I thought, good grief. I was fired for the craziest thing in the world. They accused me of stealing pap smears. Now, if that isn't Satan, I don't know what is. I mean, he couldn't even come up with a good idea. It wasn't money. It was not insubordination. It wasn't being late to work. It was none of that. It was stealing pap smears. I was like, God, What is this about? What is this about? And I'll tell you, I was thinking, well, I have no idea what I'm going to do. Look what's happened. But let me tell you what happened. God was setting me up to have the best position I could possibly have. Because I was found to be innocent, of course. You know, they couldn't find any pap smears hiding in my house anywhere. But through a series of things, but the result of that is my doctors bought the practice, promoted me to a level that I never thought would be possible. All because, but it wouldn't happen if that didn't happen first. And they said, you know what, you're not going to come in here and run our practice like that. You don't have any idea what she does all day long. Get out of here. We're buying the practice. You're not welcome here anymore. You see? Yeah, do you remember Joseph? God said, Joseph, guess what? Joseph, your brothers are going to bow down to you and you are going to be great and mighty in the land.
All right.
And he finds himself in a pit. How about that? They pull him out of the pit because they get afraid. And it's very interesting. Listen what happens. Listen what happens. This isn't part of it, but I have to tell you this because a lot of you are sitting there thinking, I've really messed up. Can faith still work for me? I'm here to tell you, God will take your messes and make them the greatest thing that's happened in your life.
Amen.
And that's the wonderful thing. You remember clear back when God told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a baby? I would have been crying for some reason. They thought it was a great thing. But at 90 years old, if somebody came and said, you're going to have a baby, I would have said, oh, no. But Abraham, or Sarah was happy, and she didn't happen. And it didn't happen. And you know what happened? They got impatient. They got out of faith. They got worried. They got scared. They got afraid that God wasn't going to keep his word. So Abraham, or Sarah said, you better have a baby with our maid. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's quite a wife. Think about it. And he does. Ishmael. Oh, we all have Ishmaels in our lives. We don't call them that. But where we try to fix what God's already promised because we're not willing to trust him and have faith in him. But here's how amazing God is.
See?
Joseph is thrown into the pit. Everybody's with me there, right? Joseph's in the pit.
Yeah.
He's pulled out of the pit. Guess who comes and buys him? The Ishmaelites. Yeah, for heaven's sake. It was for heaven's sake. It really was. That mistake ended up being part of God's plan to get Joseph where he needed to be. The Ishmaelites take him and sell him to Potiphar. Joseph doesn't lose faith. And he gets promoted. Everything he touches prospers because God rewards those who have faith and seek him. God rewards that. Joseph's faith didn't waver. He didn't say, what in the world's going on now? Oh no, all right, I'm at Potiphar's house. I'm going to make this the best house in all of the land. And it was. And then he gets accused of rape and goes to prison. Now, by this time, I am saying I would have said that's enough. I'm sure my faith would not have been able to take that. But you know what Joseph did? He made the prison the best prison in the land. It was the best prison there ever was. And the Pharaoh has a dream. Well, because Joseph is doing all this in the prison, he's also interpreted a few dreams. People at the palace say, hey, wait a minute, we got a guy in prison that can interpret dreams. Pharaoh says, go get him. He brings him, interprets the dreams, and now Joseph is running the whole country.
Yes.
But not once in the pit, in the Potiphar's house, not once when he was in prison, did he lose his faith of what God had promised him. And he ended up in the palace. Look, we are kings and priests. God's already told us that. Do you know what that means? That means your home is a palace. That means your destiny is a palace, because he has made everyone as us to be kings and priests. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's coming up against you, but I'm going to tell you, you put your shield of faith up and say, I am a child of the Most High God, and he has my destiny already planned for me, and you are not stealing it from me. Amen. Yes. I want you to go to 1 John. It's right behind Hebrews, 1 John 5:4. And this should make you all excited. It makes me excited every time I read it. John chapter 5. Okay, verse 4. Are you ready?
Yes.
For everyone born of God, say, that's me.
That's me.
Let's try it again. For everyone born of God,
that's me.
Right. Overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith.
Amen.
You want to be an overcomer? Use your faith. Use that currency. You can get as much of it as you want. The bank never runs dry. And you can use it whenever you need it. Then you become an overcomer. You overcome the world. Because Satan's going to throw the fiery darts, but they never have to land. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Now we can say, you know what, Satan? I know you're after my kids. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with my kids. That's right, Rosemary. Satan, I know you're after my finances, but let me tell you what God says about my finances. Satan, I know you're after my family. Let me tell you what God says about my family. You can't have them. My faith is too strong, and I have exchanged that currency in heaven for what God has promised me, and that is the one person who will never break his word.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting? Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is.
Right.
Not us. We are just the exchange in it.
Mm-hmm.
We are just the exchange in it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus starts it. Jesus finishes it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Okay. I want to look at a couple more verses. Go to Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Hebrews 10:23. For he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
Amen.
Hold on to that hope, because he who promised is faithful. He's faithful.
Amen.
Whatever your promise is, you find your promise, you hold on to it. You don't give up on it, because he who made the promise is faithful. Isn't that exciting? I want to look at one more verse, and then we're going to look at one thing to finish, and that is in 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is exciting stuff here. This is going to get you going home and building up your currency. This is going to get you so excited. Yes, you're all going to come in next week millionaires. You are millionaires. You're going to have so much faith built up, you're going to say, you know what? I could take care of the faith of all of Delaware. Then you're going to say, you know what? Don't worry about this country, because this group right here has enough faith. We're going to take care of the United States of America. Yeah, we're going to evangelize the world. Look at this. This is exciting here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start with, verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Do you see what the answer is? The answer is yes.
Yes.
And so through him, amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, when you say amen, that means you're agreeing with the promises of God. Everything is yes and amen. Amen, amen is right.
Amen.
Those promises you are holding on to, I've got news for you. God's already answered him. The answer is yes. They're on the way.
Amen.
They're already on the way. I want you to go back to Hebrews 11. We're going to look at something, and then we're going to close with a verse in 2 Timothy. But I know I'm jumping you all over. But I'm so excited about this that I'm trying to get a whole lot in here at once. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Okay, we already know that. If God tells me something, I don't care what the circumstances say. I'm going to stand on what God's told me.
Yeah. What verse are you reading?
Well, that was verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the essence of things unseen, the product of things hoped for. Okay? We don't see what God is doing, but we absolutely know he is going to keep his promise, and that answer is yes. And we don't give up that hope. Hope, high, optimistic, powerful expectation. We expect God to do what he said he's going to do. We expect him to keep his word. God has to keep his word. God cannot lie. Okay, now I'm going to go down through several verses and just read the first few words of each verse, and I want you to see something. Verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Mm-hmm. Verse 11, by faith Abraham. Okay? Verse 17, by faith Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph.
Yes.
Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses. Verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. By 31, by faith the prostitute Rahab. And then we go on, and they were stoned, and they were sawed in two, and they were put to death by the sword. They went in, and sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes and in ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what was promised. Do you see? None of them, even though they were acting in faith, they did not get to see the day when Jesus Christ came. But it's a whole different story for us. We have Jesus Christ, and every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. We do not have to be afraid. We do not have to doubt. We do not have to fear. We do not have to question. We do not have to worry. We do not have to take any of that. We just have to take our currency and make a deposit into the kingdom of heaven. Because God has to do what he said he would do. We are no longer slaves to what this world is telling us we have to be. We have been set free.
Amen.
And by faith, we can obtain the promises that God has for us. Amen?
Amen.